From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. We count it a privilege to have you with us today. In just a few minutes, you'll hear a message from God's Word brought by Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Returning to his studies in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, Dr. Cairns begins a message entitled, Christ, the Savior and Satisfier of the Soul. The text is John chapters 37, verses 37 and 38, where, at the Feast of the Tabernacles, Christ utters that marvelous invitation, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Before coming to the message, Dr. Cairns brings today's hot topic, the Archbishop of Canterbury's blast against the Bible.
In an interview with BBC Radio, Dr. Rowan Williams debunked some of the best-loved tales of what is often called the Christmas story. He pointed out that there's no evidence in the Bible of the idea that there were three wise men, or that the wise men were kings. He said there was no evidence that Jesus was born in a stable with animals around him. These were legendary additions to the story of the birth of Christ. Of course, in these and similar popular conceptions, the Archbishop was right. His spokesman wrote in the Times of London that Rowan Williams was sticking to what the Bible actually said. That's not really true, for Williams went on to deal with matters that are clearly attested in the Gospels, and he rejected or questioned them. For example, he dismissed the story of the star guiding the wise men to Christ because, quotes, stars just don't behave like that. Then he went further. While stating that he personally believed in the virgin birth of Christ, he said that believing should not be a hurdle that new Christians felt they had to get over so as to be admitted or accepted. Here Williams descends into abject infidelity. The doctrine of the virgin birth is not an optional add-on to the gospel faith, it is essential. The entire scheme of salvation depends on Christ's virgin birth. Yet Williams teaches that you can be a Christian while deliberately rejecting it. He is also wrong in his evident belief that the Bible is untrustworthy in some of its historical and its doctrinal statements. The religion of Rowan Williams is not Bible Christianity. Williams fears and despises the adoption of moral absolutes arising from an acceptance of the Bible as the inspired, infallible Word of God. He spoke disparagingly of the fundamentalist attitude that the Anglican Communion needed to avoid, but which had caused division in the Episcopal churches of the United States. A religion of moral relativism, based on a merely human Bible, with a host of factual and historical errors, presenting a Christ who may not have been actually born of a virgin, is not Christianity. But it's the religion of Rowan Williams, a religion of apostasy and spiritual declension. Keep that in mind, and then see what you ought to do if you're a member of Williams' Worldwide Communion. What is it that you ought to do? Put Christ before your denomination. If you do, you will get out, stay out, and speak out. Rowan Williams is the mouthpiece of a church that has mostly turned its back on Christ. His views are anti-Christian, a disgrace even to the Church of England. Williams is against the Bible, but that's only half of the story. The sober truth is that the Lord is against him. God's word will stand without Rowan Williams, but how can Rowan Williams stand against God's word? He cannot. And the old message of Scripture that he so easily dismisses will continue to reach souls and bring them to Christ, the virgin-born Savior of sinners.
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak Quarterly Magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the life of the Apostle Peter. The articles will be both informative and inspirational. In addition, there will be reports on what the Lord is doing on two interesting mission fields, that of Liberia, as well as what he's doing in the land of Nepal. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and we invite you to join us on our website this week.
I believe that we're turning in the will of God this morning to one of the most outstanding passages in the Gospels. John's Gospel, chapter 7. It's a fairly lengthy chapter which starts in Galilee and ends up in Jerusalem. Now, you can make that journey very easily by scanning a few words on a page of Scripture. It was not an easy journey, and this was a very significant journey of Christ from Galilee to Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles. Those of his relatives in Galilee were sort of taunting him because they didn't believe in him. Why don't you go and show yourself down in Jerusalem at the feast? They told him to go, that he wasn't going yet. On this occasion, it seems he went on his own. There's nothing to say that even his disciples were with him. He went alone. When he got there, there was a lot of discussion. The town was abuzz with rumor, with questions. Will he come or will he not? Will he show himself or will he not? Is this the Christ? Or is he not? And then in the middle of the feast, the Lord Jesus arrived. And he spoke. And an attempt was made to arrest him, but it failed because those sent to arrest him simply said, "Never man spake like this man." They couldn't do it. But now we come to verse 37. We're going to read a very brief passage. Verse 37, 38, and 39, though the text will be 37 and 38. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. These words carry us back into Old Jerusalem to the Feast of Tabernacles, and to what I consider one of the most riveting incidents in the eventful ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Considered in context, the context of the Feast of Tabernacles, these words provide us with one of the most majestic and marvelous sayings that the Lord Jesus ever publicly made during his earthly ministry. It was autumn in Jerusalem, around our September or October time, and the city was thronged with people from many nations, from far and near, for the Feast of Tabernacles that had come to be known as the Feast of Foreign Pilgrims. Everywhere, multinational throngs made their excited way through the city, adding color to the spectacle of what was the most joyous event in Israel's religious calendar. The Feast of Tabernacles commemorated and celebrated the Lord's grace and power in delivering the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, leading them safely through the wilderness until finally they came to the promised land. The rituals of this feast were striking. It's called the Feast of Tabernacles because the children of Israel, having settled in the land, were intended for the duration of this week of feasting to live in booths made of usually palm branches or other branches to remind them of the transient nature of their pilgrimage through the wilderness, so that as they get settled down in the land, they would remember whence they came. Over the years, this became somewhat stylized. Often, people with the flat roofs on their houses would build a little booth on top of the roof, and they would spend a lot of time there, even spend the nights there. Others stylized it even more, and the whole thing came down to waving a bunch of branches, mostly willow, but with palm in the middle. However, it was the Feast of Tabernacles, reminding them of their time in the wilderness. As I say, all the rituals of the feast were striking. During the 7 days of the feast, and I emphasize the seven because there was an eighth. Many commentators, especially modern ones, take the last great day of the feast to be the eighth day. I don't agree with them. I think the eighth day was an additional Sabbath added on to the end of the feast. And the feast proper was for 7 days. And the importance of that remark will become clear, I think, a little later. But during the 7 days of the feast, in the temple there in Jerusalem, the priests offered a total of 70 bullocks, 14 rams, 98 lambs, and 7 goats or kids. This was a feast of multitudes of sacrifices day by day. Each morning, when the morning sacrifice was laid upon the altar, one of the priests took a golden jug or small pitcher, and he made his way from the temple to the foot of Mount Zion, to the pool of Siloam. There he drew out water from the pool, and in ceremonial and joyous procession, he made his way back to the temple. There he made his way up the slope toward the top of the altar, and as he did so, the other priests gathered round, made a joyful blast upon the silver trumpets. When he got to the top of the altar slope, the priest took this pitcher of water, poured it into a silver basin, and at one side, the western side of the altar. Then he poured wine into another basin on the other side of the altar. And when he had accomplished all this, the swelling sounds of the chanting of what was called the Great Hallel, that is Psalms 113 to 118 inclusive. The chanting of the Great Hallel filled the Temple Mount. It proceeded something like this. The Levites chanted the first line of each psalm as they came to it. And as they chanted that opening line of each psalm, the general throng, the people, repeated that line. Then as they proceeded, the Levites chanted each succeeding line. And at the end of each line, with a deep-throated roar, the mighty throng cried, "Hallelujah! Praise ye the Lord!" When, however, they reached Psalm 118, the people not only repeated the first line, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good," they also, when they came to verse 25, repeated it as a mighty throng, and this was the prayer from all the gathered Jews. This is where we get our Hosanna. This is the text that was in the minds of the people of Jerusalem and what has come to be known as Palm Sunday, when they cried, "Hosanna." They were quoting this text. "Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity." And then when they reached the final verse of the psalm, of the Great Hallel, all the gathered crowd, the thousands, lifted their voice once again, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." And as they chanted these words, the thousands held forth their palm branches and they shook them toward heaven in joy and in triumph before the Lord. There were many other imposing and solemn rituals. And following them, the priests closed each day's public services with a procession around the altar, chanting the Hosanna, "Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity." Then as darkness fell over the city, the whole temple area was set ablaze with the light of multitudes of burning candelabra and flaming torches. And so for 6 days. On the seventh day of the feast, the priests made the circuit of the altar, crying, "Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity." Not just once, but seven times. So that It was as if they were encompassing Jericho's walls again, only this time they were encompassing the altar of God, crying for His salvation and His intervention and His prosperity. So that last great day of the feast was called the Day of the Great Hosanna.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.